Welcome to the Joy Felipe Bruce podcast. Sister Joy Felipe is a daughter of Bishop Dag Heward Mills and the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Cathedral of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. The Fountain of Life Cathedral is a thriving church of young, energetic people full of life for the Lord. Sister Joy is also an itinerant minister of Dag Heward Mills Ministries. She travels extensively, holding pastors' conferences and bringing ministry-related books by Bishop Dag Heward Mills to the nations. She is the evangelist of the Blessed Salvation Crusade. Now be blessed and refreshed as you listen to this inspired message by Sister Joy.
Today is a very special day, and this week, and you are blessed to be in a faith secret service. You are not just blessed because you are coming for an evening service. You are blessed because you are about to hear from a very anointed pastor, the best shepherd you can ever have, our prophetess, our mother,
together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we're grateful for a night like tonight. Thank you for keeping us all through this semester to this point. Tonight, I pray that you'll speak a word to us. Let it be a word in season, and let each one of us get what we need to continue, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Take your seat. Hallelujah. It's a pleasure to be here tonight with you. And I hope that Agenda 5 is working. Ask your neighbor if Agenda 5 is working. Some people cannot answer the question. All right. Beautiful. I see you too. Okay. So I'm going to give a couple of announcements before I start to preach so that I don't forget. In this coming week, I know that you have midsems. After the midsems, during your midsems, we have our second denominational convention. The first one, I think you were at home. This is the second one. We're going to have it at Bantama. And on the Friday, that's our day to dance and to sing. Faith Secrets, you think that you are an independent church. So when we are doing things together, you remove yourselves. Hey. You better change. You better change, because if you don't change, I will remind you where you are by booting you out to go and look for your own place. Yes. You go and look for your own location, your own instruments, your own everything. Say you want to be an independent church. Look at your big choir that was singing here. I called them last week Saturday. They didn't mind me. Yes. No, it's true. The only person who apologized was somebody who was here, your leader. Yeah. So I'm saying it from the pulpit. If you like, repeat it next week. The same to you. The dancers, repeat it and see. Are you in the church or you have traveled? You are surprised I'm addressing it from here. If you had come to visit me, I would have addressed it there. Since you didn't come, I've addressed it from here. It's not a problem. Yeah, no, because you see, that is what has made Ghana who we are. We only care about ourselves. So when somebody is driving, he doesn't mind that he has blocked everybody on the road. Hello? Because this is what he wants to do. He doesn't think he's part of anything. And it hasn't helped us. Or it has helped us. So why are you bringing it to the church? You came to school, you came and met a church, and you have come inside the church. And you have found whatever, and then you want to be independent. Try it, I'll show you independence. And believe me, I do not threaten blindly. Maybe if you do, I'll leave the church. Leave and see. Just leave and see. In what kind of church is this? That when you come, the pastor, hey! please, I need some people to just fill these chairs for me. The empty chairs are not nice. Ajay, tell neighbor, that's why we came. And then, from the 9th to the 12th of July, we have our own convention. Amen. You see, again, you are shouting, oh, but I remember the last time Reverend Nisi came. The same Faith Secret Service. You are the same people who didn't come. Yeah. You didn't know that we noticed. You thought that, oh, as we didn't come, we're all together. It's not like that. It's not. I'm not your pastor for nothing. No. When I'm there, my eyes will look and I can see. Yeah. 9th and 10th of July, we have Bishop Nobleson here. A very prophetic pastor. Amen. And it's his first time with us. He's here for 2 days. A very exciting preacher. And then 11th and 12th of July, we have Reverend Francis Nisi. Now, I want you... Are you in the house? Some of you, you were not brought up properly. You do not know that when a visitor is coming to your parents, you also show yourself. So let me just tell you straight away. If you like, repeat that behavior again. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm watching you. You, because they have blasted all of us tonight, I'm watching. Because the last time Reverend Nisi came to, your choristers were not in the choir. Yeah. Am I lying? Tell me I am lying. Tell me I'm lying. Because I didn't say anything, you thought I didn't notice. So that's why today, dear, I brought it to the pulpit. And dance sisters, I'm watching you too. Amen. Because if we only think about ourselves, I can promise you, if I only thought about myself, I wouldn't even be here tonight. At all. I've been traveling for so long that I really would have wished to be home. But I used to. Mercy. Ajay. Amen. Anyway, by the grace of God. Well, we've been talking about tithing, and we're going to continue. I'm sure some of you are praying that the month of July will pass, so that we'll take another topic. But if that is what you are thinking, then you don't have any plans to be wealthy in life. Yeah. Many times there are people who feel that, oh, as for wealth, there I'll work and I'll get money. If that were so, our farmers should have been the most wealthy people in the country, because I think that on a scale of 1 to 10, they are probably 10, where you are probably 2. So hard work is necessary, but it's not the answer to everything. Are you with me? On top of that, if you follow the world's economic systems, you can see that they are not waterproof. We haven't even talked about foolproof. Waterproof, they are not. Anything can just shake the system. Yeah. I remember in Ghana when they said, oh, you can have Forex accounts. You can have... Everything is nonsense. Everything is nonsense. Treasury bills. From when I grew up, I knew that treasury bills, yeah. If everything shakes in the nation, treasury bills will not shake. Hey, we have lived to come and see it. Boiler. They said what? Stocks and bonds. Boiler. You can see that it's not much anything. And not just in Ghana, also other parts of the world. Are you in the house? Yeah, other parts in the house. Recently, I went to Malawi, and it was interesting. Day to every day, new rates. Oh, new exchange rate. And I said, this nation, bah. The last time I was there 2 years ago, there was no fuel in the nation. Yeah. There was no fuel, Charlie. You see a fuel station, queue. And at that time, I remember that I was traveling around the country, and every night the driver and some other, they are looking for fuel so that we'll not get stuck anyway. Are you there? That's the financial system you say that you want to depend upon. And by the way, in case you are thinking that, oh, that one is Malawi, we have had our share. We have had our share before, where you had, we'll tell you that Monday, Wednesday, Friday, cars with even numbers go and collect fuel. Not that they are filling your tank. 2 gallons. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, cars with odd numbers. They don't think. Please ask your neighbor, how old are you? How old are you? How old are you? Tell them at the time, I don't think you have been born, or you were in napkins. You didn't know. You were in diapers. Yeah. Are you in the house? Why? Because the prince of the power of the air is the force behind many systems. So they cannot stand. But God's financial system, it stands. Only that he needs something from you. What he needs from you is that you have faith. Are you there? And you use your faith. Many people do not pay tithe because they don't have faith. But if you had faith, you would believe what God says about his tithing. Tonight, I'm talking to you about how tithers fulfill the laws of wealth creation. How tithers fulfill the laws of wealth creation. You know, the laws of wealth creation. When you say something is a law, it means that it happens whether you believe it or not. Law of gravity. You can say, oh, Amidi, I don't believe there's gravity. If it goes up, it will come down. Doesn't need you to believe. Listen, this, I don't know whether it's an echo. Is it that you cannot hear it? Try and remove it, okay? Try and remove it. Try. So if you go on top of the building where they are building, you throw something, if it goes up, it will come down. If you stand down here, if it goes up, it will come down. That's why it's called a law. Do you get it? Regardless of who and regardless of where, the law holds. So tonight, I'm going to be giving you 7 laws of wealth creation. And I need you to hear 2 things. I'm in church. I'm talking to you about tithing. So I'll show you how tithing fulfills those laws. Are you there? But I also want you to take a little wisdom also and understand that these are laws that operate regardless of where you are. I mean, law of gravity, whether you are a Christian or whether you are an atheist or whoever you are, it is operating. Are you in the church? Okay. So I need you to hear that because, I know that you want to be wealthy, but many of us go about it the wrong way. You see, and the generation of wealth is something that's quite mysterious. So let's just jump into the laws. The first law is the law of humility. The law of humility. And we are saying that tithing Christians fulfill the law of humility. I don't know about you, but I know that many wealthy people are proud. Have you met some before? Sometimes it's not even the person who's wealthy, it's the person's parents. It's not even their personal wealth, it's the parents and their, yes, you know. So it may sound strange when we say that, you know, there is a law of humility that is necessary if you want to create wealth. Now, when you are not humble, the opposite of humility is pride. And when you are proud, God has taken a stand against you. Oh, please find my scripture for me. He opposes the proud. I want to give you an example of what it means to oppose. Oh, him, I just come. So you are trying to do something. You are trying to walk, and you have decided that you are walking this way. What you want is over here. God takes a stand against you. And that's what it means. It means to oppose. So as you are trying to come, he has chopped you there. And it's not hard. You can be doing it. It's nothing. And the Bible says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So when you are a proud person, God is against you. It's only a matter of time. The Bible also says that when pride comes, then comes a fall. Yeah. Are you there? So humility is a quality that is not respected on earth, but it is one of the important things that you need, because when you have that humility, a certain grace is with you. Are you with me? Thank you so much. I remember last week I was preaching on this, and I was reminded of a certain company that came into Ghana. It was the first company to provide us with internet services in our homes. It had a certain package for mobile phones, and I mean, they were good. And if you had any problems, they would even come to your house. Are you there? Yeah, no, they'll come to your house. I remember one time I was working in Bolgatanga. The person I was working with had, they came all the way. The office was in Tamale. They drove all the way to Bolgatanga to solve the problem. Now, time passed, and they were everywhere. They were everywhere, and they were doing well. Then one day, my office had an issue, and I called. We had somebody I knew there, and I called, and I said, please, we need some help because this and that. The person said, oh, I'm really sorry. You know, we have a new management, and the management says that all these small customers are there. We cannot be serving them. So we are working with the big corporate organizations. From that day, I knew that that was the end. So that was the end of that. Their outcry. Most of you, if I mention the name, I've never heard it before. Are you here? They are totally out. What had happened? After going around and people were now, I mean, they had customers. Pride. It's called hubris born of success. Hubris is another word for pride. You have succeeded, or you think you've succeeded. Are you there? Now, how does the tither come in? A tither comes in because when you pay your tithe, you are somebody who admits that I don't have control over everything. I need God. There are some of you here, you are like, how can I give God my money? But you claim that you are born again. You have given him your life. Is your money you can't give? Really? Then you are not wise. I will suggest to you that you should drop your salvation and go. Because your soul is more profitable, is more valuable than anything. Are you here? Your money, Ahibia, how much is it? Please tell your neighbor how much they have been sending you every month. Hey, but you see, my money is not enough for me. That is the reason why you need to tithe. That is the reason. That's the reason. That is the reason. That 20 cities you are holding on to, I want to ask you what it's going to do for you. What is it going to do for you? Please, at the far end, your 30 cities, what is it going to do for you? Explain it to me. Recently, I was stuck somewhere. And then, it's like one had been without breakfast. It was around 4 p.m. Then they said, so let's get some. The rice that they brought for 40 cities. A chicken could have eaten it. A chicken. And you say that because your tithe is 40 cities, you cannot give God 40 cities. You cannot give God the rice that a chicken can eat. And you have faith that you can give him your life. Oh, Malik, you are lying. You are lying. But when you become a habitual tither, you are saying that, look, I don't have control over everything. I don't. You are humble enough to say that I need God. I need God. Are you in the church? Yeah. And to create wealth, you just say, look, I need God. I need him in this aspect of my life. Some of you trust God that, God will give you a husband, a wife. You trust God, you pass exams. But when it comes to money, let me not mince words with you. You are on your way straight to poverty. No cares. Don't worry what's going on in the end. The end is clear. As our friends, and you cares, and so can I cares. Don't be silly. Please, I don't want to start quoting Malachi at this time. He has told you what he does to those who steal from him. That one too, you want to selectively not understand it. I didn't say it. Joshua will put it up for you. Look at it. A certain man of God was picked up from the airport. He was going for a program. And on the way, he asked the guy who was driving him, as they just said, "Do you tithe?" The guy said, "No." He says, "Please stop the car here. Stop here. Call your pastor to send somebody for me." Why? He's like, if when the curse is falling on you, I'm in your car, perchance. At a certain point in my church, I wouldn't pray for you if you were not a tither. I said, what God has cursed me, I should lay my hand on it. I won't do. Yeah. Let's continue. But pastor, is it because of money? Don't be silly. Did you read? Please put the verse 9 there for the person to read it. God has meant you, then me, I'm blessing you. Hey, please. I don't like trouble. Tell your neighbor, I don't like trouble. If you knew somebody was cursed, would you eat from the same plate with them? So why are you looking at me as if what I'm saying is something? I think I should start tracking tithing again and see. Maybe some of you, when you come for prayer, I'll tell you that, please. I beg you. I fear God. Law number two. And law number two, I'm not going to go deep into it because it's quite a deep one. And next week, we're going to deal with only that. But that is the law of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping. Are you here? Tithing Christians fulfill the law of sowing and reaping. This is one of the best laws in the world. Sow and reap. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And when you pay tithe, you activate the laws of sowing and reaping. Psalm 126 and verse 5 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Some of you, you have not cried. There have been no tears. No wonder you are not reaping. Yeah. But if you are tithed, the day will come when you will look at the tithe and you will cry. Yeah, you will cry. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." You want to give God some pion? You will reap some pion. Hey! To put it in local language. You gave him what? Sompion. He will use your sompion to measure and give it. Amen. I really enjoy preaching about this law, but I will hold myself next week. Law number three. The law of prioritization. The law of prioritization. You see, the law of prioritization is one of the laws that creates wealth. What does it mean? You learn that this goes before that. When you juggle with the law of prioritization, you continue to live, but it's difficult. So, for instance, you are supposed to go to school first and have a child after. If you choose to have a child first, you can still go to school. But it's a totally different scenario. Are you in the church? Whether the father is present or not, it's a different scenario. Why? Because something should have been your priority, and you switched it around. Maybe you should visit or befriend people who are adults when they come back to school, mature students as you call them, and they'll tell you. You see, there are some people who at the time when they should have come, something prevented them. So life went on, and then years later they had to go to school. I had a friend one time, and she was in school at the same time. She was in the university at the same time as her son. It was not a simple situation. It was not simple at all. Yeah. And the reason is this law of prioritization. The Lord has made it such that some things come before others. When you switch them around, you will always get a problem. There are even diseases in this world because of people not obeying the law of prioritization. When you are 12 years old, you cannot prioritize sex. You cannot. A lot of the cervical cancers and things like that have people who started too early. Yeah. You had taken something that should have been third or fourth or fifth in your life, and you have made it first. It will bring a problem. It will bring a problem. Are you there? The law of prioritization. Now, we are saying that that law brings wealth. When you begin to understand what comes before what. Amen. And as a tither, you learn it. And some things are habits. When you are a tither, you know that it is your first fruit. So you begin to tithe. Now, what happens is that when money is given to you, you automatically begin to think, hey, my tithe. If you are a proper tither, you remove it before you even start to spend the money. You are creating a habit. Any money that will come to you, instead of just spending something, you begin to think. Some of you don't tithe because when the money comes, you start spending. By the time you are aware, it's over. They've spent before the money comes. Their state is worse. Don't spend your time. Are you in the church? Any money that comes. So if even in the course of the month or whatever, let's say you receive your allowance every month. In the course of the month, somebody gives you 50 CDs. Don't say, I'll pay the 5 when they give me. No, remove it from the 50. Now. You see, some of you don't like what I'm saying. But it is the truth. It's the truth. That's why me on my phone, I have our Momo number. I also have on my phone our account number. At times I just do direct transfer, finish. I don't even want to see you to know. Or direct Momo, finish. I'm done. I don't have to wait at the end of the month. Hey. I won't even remember. But you are learning the law of prioritization, a habit that you need to take you through this life. To realize that first things are done first. Are you in the house? Many of us, we contravene the scripture. Seek first the kingdom. We seek everything else first. What's your neighbor saying? You see, if you're a company and you fail to remember your priorities, you end up in disaster. Yeah. There are some bills you cannot run away from. There are companies in Ghana that do not pay slits for their workers. Yeah. The day they are found, that's it. Because not only do you have to pay, you will have to pay the backlog. Slit will also fine you. And if you have breached the law, they'll take you to court. Have you seen that you're very quiet all of a sudden? I wonder why. When the church forgets that we have, our priority is soul winning. When you forget it, you do everything else. There are churches that are having parties, having what again? I remember when I was growing up, one time the priest came and stood in the church and said that the church owes him a carton of beer. And that at the there had been some function. There was something. Yeah, I don't know what it was. They ran short and they came for his carton of beer. And so, yeah. It may sound odd to you, but Charlie, the reason is that when you are not prioritizing what you should prioritize, you will do a lot of strange things. Yeah, you'll do a lot of strange things. Push your neighbor and say, what is the priority in your life? Some of you, at this time in your life, your priority is your love life. I don't even know what's going to happen to you. At this time. They are falling in love with who? Your pastor says that agenda 5 week, then you go to the library, then you go and fall in love with somebody there. I beg you. Please, agenda 5 week is for learning. It's not for looking anywhere. It's the only thing you can do. Tell your neighbor, agenda 5 week. When we wake up, after quiet time, it's books. Before we sleep. No, it's real. It's only your books. Prioritization. Are you in the church? Hallelujah. And when you learn to prioritize your tithe, you'll be happy about it. You see, some of you, you cannot use your tithing in any way because you didn't prioritize. So you paid in January, you didn't pay February, March, you paid in April, all those gaps. And those gaps remove from you the power of the tithe. Yeah. Because when you do what God says and you tithe, Charlie, we shall have a discussion right now. No, with God. Yeah. Sort me out. Yeah. Are you there? You are suddenly very quiet. How are you going to ask God about anything? You have not been faithful about your money issues. How are you going to ask him about anything? Yeah. But when you have been faithful, you just talk about it. Lord, I've done my part. This is what you said you would do, please. I'm waiting. Law number 4. The law of emulation. The law of emulation. Listen, the law of emulation. Simply put, the law of copying. Except in the exam room, let me hasten to add. Before some people go and start saying that, and they told us in church on Saturday that... that there's a certain law. If you copy, you'll be great. If you copy, you'll be sacked. For exams, if you copy, you'll be sacked. Having said that, copying is the number one way to learn. And it's the number one way to create wealth. Are you there? You're very quiet. You see, the countries around us today that you know as wealthy nations, Japan, Korea, where again, those guys, they didn't used to manufacture cars in my lifetime. In my lifetime. When I was growing up, we knew that car there, Nwani German. Yeah, the German Benz, the German Opel, they had quite a number of cars. The French had the Renault, they also had the Peugeot, these were the car makers. The US had the Ford, the Chevy, various cars. Then, these nations I'm talking about, the Japanese, the Koreans, and others in Asia like them, they began to copy. And initially, they copied just the body. So they'll have the body, then they'll put the name Mazda. They'll have a body, then they'll put the name Datsun. But the engine would be a Benz engine or another engine. And they were copying. While they were copying, African countries were laughing. Especially Ghana. I remember when the tickle came. Some of you, you are so young, you don't even know the tickle. When the tickle came, I remember that there was an advert on TV. And there was a child. A child. I call that. Then the child will say, "Made me woman a call library." Good. That advert, they used it to nickname the tickle Akoda. And Akoda, they will be laughing because some country has made the tickle and it was a small car. Are you there? Those countries, all of them today, they are wealthy. They bought engines and put in until they learned to copy the different parts. Learn to make it, and today we are buying them as Nissans and Toyotas and Kias and whatever. Yeah. And we are still there. Don't even mention it. Don't even mention it because we've not been able to do anything with it. Yeah. But the point I'm making is that how did they get there? Emulation. Emulation. Copying. Copying. Are you in the church? Many industrial countries, they copied each other. In case you don't know, the US originated from the UK. It was people from the UK who moved over and went and pushed the people, the Indians there aside and took their land. And after a while, the UK said to the US that, "You guys, you've got the land, so be doing the crops and whatever, whatever. We'll be doing the manufacturing and be sending to you." They said, "Na lie. You manufacture, we manufacture. What you do, we do. Today, we can see. Are you there?" But when they came to Africa and told us, we accepted. That's why we are hungry today. We accepted. And we are still accepting. That's why our ability to grow rice is zero. Ability to raise chickens is zero. All these things we used to produce in our own nation. We used to produce all in our own nation. Are you in the church? Yeah. But because we don't like emulation, we didn't want to copy and go through the process of learning and refining and refining and refining. That law is in Hebrews 6:12. That ye be not slothful. Are you there? But followers, or if you like, some versions say imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. There are people who have believed God before us. And they were tithers. Abraham was a tither. Before the law, it became a law. He was wealthy. Jacob was a tither. Before the law, and he was wealthy. And you are here arguing. Not only that, you tend to argue people don't have anything. Most of the people who are writing nonsense, they don't have anything. They are nobody's going nowhere. That is the one you want to believe. You have become a follower and of an imitator of a doubter who, without patience, is inheriting nothing. And you are following. Hey. Push your neighbor and say, "Be wise." Solomon, the richest man in the world, he was a tither. So I don't know who you are copying. I don't know who you are copying. Law number 5. My preaching is ending soon. Yeah. The law of seasons. The law of seasons. By the way, I told you that you should be able to hear the law. So, because some of you want to go and start making money selling fish. But you have not gone to copy anybody who sells fish. Okay, let's continue to the law. It's true. We are very proud. We want to be originals. That's why we are so poor. Poor originals. The law of seasons. There's a season for everything. The earth has been created to operate by seasons. And you need to know your season. Dry season, you are going to plant what? Mango. Are you there? Life is made up of seasons. Hallelujah. And so you need to understand the season that you are in your life. Some of you, your big shotism is too much. Are you there? This is a certain season. Somebody is giving you money. You don't know that you are far wealthier now than you will be soon. Mommy, we don't like what you are saying. It's not a matter of liking. The next time you see a national service man around, ask him how much money he has. The next time you see somebody who's working, ask him how much money he has. Especially if he lives on his own. You will discover that you have far more. Most of you, by the time your parents sort you out, you don't have anything left. It's a season. I used to advise young people, I tell them that, listen, build before your children get to SHS. Recently, one of them sent me a text and said, thank you. Because he didn't understand what I was saying, but he built. And now the children are in the SHS and they are drinking the money. Oh, yes, drinking. You see, as usual, you think only about yourself. But there are five of you. Or three of you. I have three sons. And I remember that there was a time when, as they are coming up for the long vacation, I say, oh, God, I've missed those guys. I love to see them. But it also has a bat. When they come up that night, tomorrow morning breakfast, budget has changed right from breakfast. One day, I came into my kitchen. I had opened a tin of Milo the day before. And the Milo was half. Usually in my house, I don't talk about food. There are some of you who want to know who took the last plantain. I don't have time for that. But this time I said, I don't understand. I opened the thing in the night. So I was standing and said, but who poured the Milo and why? I don't understand. I mean, it's here. Who poured it? At least just take it. I mean, make your why. So when I was talking, then my girls who are around in the house were there. In those days, Lady Pastor Jimmy, she's a lady pastor today. She was a man. She started to laugh. She didn't say anything. And I said, I don't like your laugh. She didn't say anything. Then she just went to a cupboard. Now, in the cupboard, I had one of these big cups that you are supposed to use for soup. And then she just mentioned one name. And she puts the cup on the table. I said, it's okay. It's okay. The person has arrived. As he's arrived, that soup cup was used to make the Milo. And to make, in my house, we describe Milo. The Milo is either sanguine or phlegmatic. Those are the two. The person made sanguine Milo. Sanguine Milo, just say. Half my tin. Hey! Are you in the house? Some of you, by the time you are leaving for school, hostel fees, the school fees, they can't even breathe. They can't even breathe. But it's a season. Are you there? It's a season. So you need to recognize the seasons. And right now, you are at a point when you can pay tithe. A time will come in your life when you cannot pay tithe because you don't have an income at all. And when you don't have, that's also part of your harvest season. But in case you have not tithed, you have nothing to talk about. So you need to understand it when you are in a season of abundance. There's a nice scripture in Genesis 41 from verse 29 to 31. The story, we know it. When Pharaoh had a dream, he saw maize, some thick maize. And he saw them, seven of them. Then he saw thin maize. And the thin maize swallowed the thick maize. And it was still thin. Like some of you, no matter how much you eat, you're still thin. No, we understand. If you don't like food and you are thin, we don't have a problem with you. But those of you who can eat, I know a small girl, four balls of kenke will disappear. And there's no increase in size. So that's how the maze was. And then Pharaoh had another dream. He slept and had another dream. Seven fat cows were on the bank of the river. And shortly after, seven thin cows came and swallowed the fat cows, and there was no sign. And he asked for an explanation. And Joseph explained it and told him that there's a season of 7 years of abundance and another season of 7 years of famine. And the famine will be so wild that you will not even remember that you had 7 good years. And Pharaoh was wise enough to ask him, "What should we do?" And he said, "In those years of abundance, take some and put it aside. In your years of abundance, take that tithe, put it aside. Put it aside. Put it aside." Hallelujah. And that is what saved the two nations, Egypt and Israel. They were saved by this measure. Ecclesiastes 3:1-2 says, "There is a right time for everything. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to harvest." Hallelujah. So you better know when you are in your season. You better know. Law number 6. Are you there or you have traveled? Because some of you are not yet in a certain season, and the way you do your things. Anyway, the law of a willing attitude. The law of a willing attitude. Tithing Christians understand the law of a willing attitude, which creates wealth. Your attitude is very important. Your attitude, very, very important. You know, we are in church, but some of you have a very bad attitude. That's why we have to correct some of it. Yeah. Some of you, when people visit you, your attitude is so bad. When they call you, even how you answer, so bad. But you don't know that there are people who are dying for a phone call. I used to have a sheep just like you. At that time, we were in Tamale, and we would call, and every Sunday, I would go to her room to call her. It was not easy for me. Nursing student. I'd go and call her. The time came when she finished her nursing, and she went to the U.S. And when she went, she started working. And every once in a while, she would call us to say hi. "Are you in the church?" Then one night, she called. When she called, she was crying like a baby on the phone. We said, "What's wrong?" And she said, a few months before, she was driving and there was snow on the road. And as she approached a junction, her tires didn't grip. So she slid and into the car in front of her. "Please, over there, there's nothing like, I'll take you to my repairer, my welder. There's nothing like that. Nothing like that. You are buying the person a car. There's nothing like that." So she ended up having to buy the person a car. And that meant even her own car, she had not been able to repair it yet. So for 3 months, she had not been to church. And as she was there, nobody called her to check up on her. "Why have you not been to church?" Then she remembered that she used to have some pastors in Tamale who used to come and knock her door and drag her to church and call her. She was now calling and crying. I'm talking to some of you because your attitude is so bad. Even how you have made your face. Somebody told me that a bad attitude is like a flat tire. You don't repair it, you are not going anywhere. You can have a brand new car. Everything is new. Engine is new. There's fuel. Everything works. But there's a flat tire. Till you change that tire, you are not going anywhere. And you at this age, look at your attitude already. You have started early. Life has not even given you enough knocks yet. Isaiah chapter 1. Can you see it? If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And some of you, this is the source of your struggles. Maybe you are obedient. That one, we shall come to it later. But you are not willing. So you are tithing, oh. But the attitude with which you give God the tithe. Can let me just give this here. The way that lady was saying, you can just come and disturb me this. I don't like that. Yeah. That's why sometimes it's 5%. Are you in the church? Our father has written in his book on tithing. He says that the attitude of a person determines his altitude. Determines how high you will go. The attitude. Are you there? Hey, you see that you are very quiet. The willing attitude. It makes a lot of difference. In fact, in Joseph's case, it changed his life. Because when he was brought from the jail, he was not brought from the jail to solve the problem. He was brought from the jail to interpret the dream. Now, when he was coming, he had been in the jail for a long time. And the Bible says that he went to clean himself up. In shame, I'm coming to stand in front of the king. Nobody would have blamed him if he had come in his stinking clothing. After all, he had been in jail. But Charlie, proper attitude. Then he came and he interpreted the dream. And when he finished interpreting, and then Pharaoh was wondering what to do, he could have told him that, it's your problem. But willing attitude. He told him, do this, do this, do this, do this. Immediately, Pharaoh said, hey. In fact, Joseph told him he should find a man. You look at it. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers. And Pharaoh said, I should appoint who? You are here. You are here. Right there, from the jail, right there. Second in command. You only be under me. On top of everybody. From his attitude. And I'm talking to some of you tonight because your attitude is wrong. You come to church, even the face that you bring. If God was coming with a blessing to you, he'll pass. You think it doesn't matter, but he is the one telling us in the scripture in Isaiah 119 that if you are willing, he's looking at your willingness, obviously. Obviously, you come into church, even right in church, you're on Facebook. Right in church, you're on Instagram. Right in church, you are just Snapchatting. Oh, yeah, I see you. I see you, but I just don't mind you. It's your loss. I don't even know why you came. Yeah. Right, what kind of attitude? And then when it is said, no, I see your attitude to the usher who is trying to give you some wisdom that you don't have. Yeah. I shouldn't say. I will say, pa. Some of you, when it's time to come for bus, and I mean, I won't come. I don't know why. Your attitude is wrong. It's just wrong. If even you won't come, cry, find a nice way to say it. Oh, I'm saying, oh, don't worry. And if a brother makes a mistake, to come to say that he likes you. The attitude, you see, the attitude. I am not saying that, you need to agree. I'm simply saying that even if you don't agree, you can politely, very politely. I keep on telling people that when you are exiting a room, don't bang the door. When you bang the door and after you banged it and you come out, you remember that your phone is there. You will now see whether you can return after you have displayed your bad attitude. Are you in the church?
Oh, yeah.
There are many, many jobs that will require your willingness rather than your understanding it or your anything. Your willingness. Yeah. Me personally, I don't keep anybody around me who's not willing. I won't keep you at all. At all. So you are here, you are very skilled, you are very gifted, you are very whatever, but your attitude is wrong. Number one, I'll tell you attitude is wrong. That's why I started at the beginning of the service like that. I will tell you. But if you keep it, I'll just leave it to yourself. Yeah. Are you in the church? Because if you are going to tithe, you might as well do it with a willing attitude. Yeah. Just, this is all that God has asked you for. Just do it. Just what? Do it. Yeah, just do it. Yeah. You do something in church, just do it. Just do it. You have chosen to do nothing in church. That's your decision. But there's no reason to look down your nose at those who do something in church. If they didn't do something, you wouldn't even be able to be here. So you better correct your attitude. Are you in the house? Because some of you, when they think of calling you or they think of this thing, then the person will be trying to dodge. When they remember your rudeness, what is the reason for the rudeness anyway? I would like to know. When you go to the loo, what comes? The thing that comes, does it not smell? Yours smells like anybody else. So I don't know what you are proud about. I don't know. The money that's in your pocket is not yours. Somebody gave it to you. Should I continue or should I stop? No, I don't understand. You are proud because of your cause. Before you, millions of others. What have we not seen it before? Hey. Bless you. You can ask the choristers whether when they did their shacking, choirs were not singing or were singing or not. Just ask them. No, you know, it's just, don't worry. They know that it's okay. I'm just using them as a convenient example. But I'm just making a point. That you see, when you think too much of yourself, it's also some, just know that you can be deleted, pin like this. God doesn't, he doesn't need any one particular one of us, do you get it, to do what he's doing. Yeah, so it's a privilege if he's doing with us. And when our time is up, somebody else, have you ever come and then somebody's not here preaching? He doesn't need me in particular to be here, or in particular, do you get it? So when you are being given the opportunity, Charlie, you use it happily. You do it nicely. Film stars you were filming today, just film happily. Yeah, a time will come, you will not do it again. No, it's just true. I keep asking the church, have you seen somebody on the bass guitar who is 60 years old in church? No, no. A film star. Your lady pastor says, I should remind you that she used to be a film star, and that's true. But I wonder when last she acted a film. I mean, everything that we are doing, you know, it's passing, it's moving. It's moving. It's as though it's forever, but it isn't. So when it is in your hands, Charlie, take it with a nice attitude. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for allowing me to do this. I'm glad. Thank you. And you do it at best, not that somebody has to be talking. Yay. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, pay that tithe. Just pay it. Just pay that tithe. Just pay it. That's all. The last law is the law of obedience, which creates wealth. Hallelujah. Why? Because to be obedient means that you are somebody who can obey instructions. And that is a quality that generates wealth. Obedient people go further than disobedient ones. Yes. Some of you, the reason your father does not like you or appears not to like you is your disobedience. You are here saying, my father, he likes my brother. He likes my brother and sister. He doesn't like. It's your obedience. Yeah. Are you there? I'm going to read something our father says in his book. He says, tithing is an important exercise, even if it is just an exercise in blind obedience. You cannot be trusted with certain positions if you are not obedient. And you cannot be trusted with certain amounts of money if you are not obedient to the one who gives it to you. Are you in the church? You are not obeying him. Why should he give you more? There's no reason. There's no reason. I pray that as you have listened to the various laws, that you will do, you will allow wisdom to touch you, to reach you. Some of the highest jobs that we have, it is the law of obedience that is required. Yeah. Go and ask a pilot whether as he's flying, he has to think. He has to think. No. He has to obey. When he enters into the plane, when they enter, they must enter at least 35, 45 minutes before anybody else. And they are just going through things, checking. It says check. There's nothing like, oh, this one, I know that the mechanics have come to repair it, so we don't need to. No. No, no. That's not what we need. You are supposed to check and they correct. Check and they correct. Check. Sometimes when I'm sitting on the flight, I just watch them. I just watch them. And I noticed the other time, I noticed something that the pilot always said. And they sent them in twos. And you tell them, shut the doors. And you will see them. Two air hostesses will come and stand in front of the door. Both of them are there. One is watching the other. And the other one is just going through the process. One, two, three, four, locked. And it's always two. And sometimes you even wonder why. The places where we put our hand luggage, two of them. Meanwhile, one person can just push it. It's closed. But no, they have not asked you to think. Two. So one will stand here, the other will stand here. They look at each other and then they push it. Blah. Then they move to the next one. And I'm like, ah, but if you use one person, you can do it twice as fast with half the number. Hey, have they asked my opinion? It's like, what do you know about it? Here, we obey instructions. One time, I remember Ghana Airways leaving with, it took off, and the wooden block that they put in between the tires to stop it from moving, it was stuck there. Come and see. Come and see, because the idiot who put it there is supposed to remove it at a certain point. They didn't remove it, and the plane took off with that thing there and started to maneuver all over the sky to drop it, because if we don't drop it now, there's a problem. Are you there? Some of you, the plane of your life is going up. Are you there? Yes. And you are supposed to be doing certain things, and you are asking foolish questions. Hey, one of the things you are supposed to be doing is to pay that tithe. So the tithe, now what are they using it for? Tell neighbor, I think you need to stop here. Yeah, you just need to stop here. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. The laws of wealth creation. You know, I believe that as we've gone through these seven laws, let's take it from the beginning. I'm very sure that, Joshua, have you deleted the list or is there? Let me read my notes. If I follow you, I will say. But the first one was the law of humility. At all. God has saved you. The law of humility. Number two is what? The law of sowing and reaping. Number three? The law of prioritization. Number four? The law of emulation. Tell your neighbor, that simply means copying. And then tell your neighbor, not in exams. Not in exams. If I give the person a knock, not in exams. The next one, number five. The law of seasons. Number six, the law of a willing attitude. And number seven, the law of obedience. I want you to pray. Some of you, you can see which law you are falling down on. Or a particular law that struck you, that the Lord is just leading you over this particular law. He's saying something to you over this particular law. Just begin to talk to the Lord tonight. Lift up your voice and begin to talk to the Lord. Thank him for the laws. Keep the laws on the screen. It should be obvious. And just talk to the Lord about it. Please show all seven. And just begin to pray. Just pray. Just pray. Just pray. Just pray. Over that one law. Lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice and pray. Somebody, the Lord is speaking to you and saying that you have not been sowing. You need to type so that you have sown something in order to reap it. Somebody has shown you something to emulate, something to copy. You have not done it. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Father, we are so grateful for these seven laws of wealth creation and showing us how, as tithers, we fulfill them. I pray, Lord, that even as we fulfill these laws, may we reap a bumper harvest from them in the name of Jesus. Let there be a change in our financial lives, O God. We thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. And as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, you are here tonight. You've not given your life to Jesus. That is your priority. Before you even thinking or talking about income or tithe or anything, the Lord wants you to give your life to him. And as every head is bowed tonight, I want you to consider, is my name written in the book of life? If the answer is no, don't hesitate one more week. Don't hesitate one more day. Keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. I'm just talking to that person who is not sure. You're not sure your name is in the book of life. Just slip up your right hand. I'm going to pray with you. Just lift it up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Just lift it. Just lift it. God bless you. I can see your hand. I can see your hand. If your hand is up, just come to me. I want to pray with you. Just come. Just come to me. God bless you. God bless you. Just come to me. God bless you. Your hand was up. Just come. God bless you. God bless you. Just come. Just come. Take courage. God bless you. Just stand. You're not sure. You're saying that I've been in church even, but I'm not sure. Just come. We're going to pray a quick prayer together. Oh, hallelujah. If you're standing in front, just pray this prayer. Make it your own. And those of you in the congregation, just also help us. You want to say, Lord Jesus. Just pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight as a sinner. Please wash me. Cleanse me from my sin. Please write my name in the book of life. Lord Jesus, from tonight, you are my Savior and you are my Lord. I thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
With all of me, I want to praise you.
We believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more information, you can follow us on Facebook, Fountain of Life Cathedral, and on Instagram and Twitter at FOLCIUDIASI. God richly bless you.
He brought joy to my soul.